Kia ora church and welcome to a brand new series. It's a series about real people with real stories. His story, my story. We're so excited with today's story. Today's story comes from Matt Ferry. So here is Matt's story.
Hey, my name is Matt and this is my story. So it's actually a really positive testimony in hindsight. I am privileged to be able to share with you today just the ways God provided for me in the face of losing someone really close to me. I taught English in Japan for about 5 years. And in the third year, whilst Mum was dealing with cancer, she was given the ultimatum, you know, do you pursue more chemo or do you live out the rest of your days in relative comfort? She was given between 3 weeks and 3 months. And I learned of this all at once when on a day in July of 2019, she called me from New Zealand and I was in Japan and said, I love you, son. And I knew, here we go. I got the next flight to New Zealand a couple of days later. To be obviously with my family, and we didn't know, you know, how long Mum would survive. And stayed in New Zealand until, you know, we had a funeral, and then I was here for another week. And then I went back to Japan. Reason the story is ironically good in hindsight is that God came through in three amazing ways that over time, once the grief settled down a bit, I was able to appreciate. Obviously, I wasn't able to appreciate it at first, but it's coming up to, it'll be 5 years in September, and so I'm finally able to, talk about it. Living in one place in Japan and living and having your family in New Zealand, you're able to compartmentalize your life, keep them over here, and keep yourself over there having fun. But then when, you know, your mum tells you that she's going to die, all that whole ability to compartmentalize in your mind just, it all comes crumbling and you don't know what to do with yourself. And that's sort of the state I found myself in the moment she passed away. And, you know, it so happened that I was there in the room when that happened, and suddenly looking at my mother, who could see me, to looking at a body who was looking past me. But in the midst of the chaos and the grief, God was there. And one of the biggest ways he was there is just in the peace that both my mum and my dad had leading up to her passing away. Mum, who gave her testimony at church, I think 5 weeks before she died at her church, just thrilled at the idea of going to see her creator, just so happy and over the moon, and wanting us to be happy for her, telling us, you know, don't wear dark colors to the funeral, wear bright colors, because it's a celebration, and really emphasizing that. And obviously, you know, as her son, you don't feel like celebrating, but that was still true, even if I didn't feel that truth or yet. And I remember one time when she was awake, a few days before she passed away, and she was awake enough to kind of, she said to me, the last word she ever spoke to me, which was also the word she spoke to me on that phone call in Japan, was, I love you, son. And she kissed me on the forehead and went to sleep. And I believe in that moment now when I look back, she thought she wouldn't wake up again, which is why she said that. And then a few hours later, she woke up. And I think, she was too weak to speak, but she kind of looked around and she seemed a bit annoyed. And went back to sleep. And I think the reason why she was annoyed, because she was still on earth. She was hoping to wake up in heaven. So that's how excited she was to be going to meet her creator. And even more profound than that was my dad's piece. So he'd received a word from God 2 years before my mom passed away, telling him that God would call her home sooner than later. So he told me this, and he told me that for those 2 years, he had been grieving. He had been preparing. And by the time she passed away, he was in a complete acceptance of that. And for that reason was such a strong sort of pillar in our family during that process. So I was the one bawling my eyes out, but Dad was like, she's in heaven now. And at the time it was annoying, to be honest, but now I see that actually that was fantastic. And he was just so together. The other thing that God provided, and I wouldn't realize this until a year later, was he provided the perfect setting and timing for all of this to take place, because 2019 was the year before COVID. And so had Mum pursued more chemo, or had she recovered for a time and then passed away in 2020, I wouldn't have been able to see her at all. And that, I now know, would have had a much greater effect on me emotionally. Because even after I'd been able to spend multiple weeks with her back in New Zealand before she passed away, I still carried this guilt with me after the fact. I should have been there longer, like I wasn't there soon enough, like I didn't do more. And I just know that had I not been here at all, I don't know what would have happened then. So God really, the opportunity to be with my mum in her final weeks was an opportunity I wouldn't have had in 2020, 2021. And so I really thank God every day for that, for providing in that way. And then the third way was just giving me courage to go back to my job in Japan and enjoy life there for two more years until I would return in 2021, end of 2021. One big struggle with grieving your mum after going back to your life in another country, which I didn't anticipate, because as much as I braced myself for, losing a parent, you have no idea how you actually have no idea how it's going to affect you until afterwards. So, was that your vision of what home is just completely shatters, because, when you move country and you intend on moving back, in your mind everything in the country that you left stays the same. Your mom and dad, they're going to church regularly, they're doing all these things at the house, and everything is the way it's always going to be. And then when your mom passes away, all of a sudden that whole picture is gone. And so now when I was back in Japan, it was like the, when I think of home, when I think of New Zealand, when I think of Hamilton, it was like there was no shape to it. It was like a void. And so I felt like I was floating, and you don't feel like you don't have an anchor, or you don't have a foundation. But again, that was something that, just took time. It was just part of the grief. In that, trusting God that, I don't feel anything, it was like your joy has been sapped from you, but I knew that God in his timing would make all of that possible again. So if you don't know, I've been writing the e-news for the past two-ish years, maybe. And that's great. I enjoy doing that. Hopefully you enjoy reading it.
So outside of church, I'm starting up a business teaching English, both to people learning as a second language and to high school students doing NCEA or Cambridge English. So if you or someone you know needs some English help, hit me up. You'll get mates rates because, you know, we're a family. And, well, I met, and that's my story.
What a powerful story. I just love the faith of Matt's mum and Matt's dad. You know, Matt's mum knew without a shadow of a doubt where she was going and whom she was going to. What a powerful story. It's a story that encourages not just Matt and his family, but encourages all of us. Because when we die, when it comes to that time, we know exactly where we go. What you believe about death and eternity will determine how you live, your life here on earth. And what's really interesting is because according to most studies, the number one fear for humanity, it's not death. It's really interesting. The number one fear for humanity is public speaking. And number two is actually death, is the dying bit, as people are afraid of, which is quite interesting because if you go to a funeral, you'd rather be in the coffin than give the eulogy. It's not death itself that people fear. It's actually what happens after death is what we fear. In fact, one poet put it like this. He said, "Death itself is nothing, but this we fear. To be, we know not what, we not know where." And I love what it says in Ecclesiastes. This is what it says, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2. It says, "Better to spend your time at funerals than at parties. After all, everyone dies, so the living shall take this to heart." It's an interesting perspective. Our time one day will come. And studies are conclusive. Everyone dies. Everyone dies. And so what Ecclesiastes is talking about is that take your time here on earth serious and don't just live for your time here, but live for what happens after death. And that's kind of the thing that people are afraid of. What actually happens after death? You know, is there nothingness? Is there heaven? Or am I going to hell? What's going on? And the Bible answers these questions. And so Cornelius, who's a Roman centurion, Peter is summoned to Cornelius and he begins to explain to him what actually happens after we die. And we find that in Acts chapter 10, verse 39. And this is what it says. It says, "We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." And so Peter's saying this, look, the person we encountered, the risen Jesus, he wasn't a ghost. How do we know he wasn't a ghost? Because he ate and he drank with us. Ghosts don't eat. Dreams don't eat. But that Jesus was real and he rose again. In fact, 1 Corinthians tells us that Jesus appeared to over 500 people. Incredible. Incredible. And he continues on. And listen to what he says. He says, verse 42, this is very important. "He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead." It's incredible. What did Jesus command them to preach? What did he in fact, there's three things here in verse 42. And it's really interesting what you can unpack from verse 42. There's so much you can unpack from this one verse. All right, let me read that verse again. He commanded us, Jesus commanded them to preach and to testify that Jesus, that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. So number one thing we do know is that all people will be raised. Verse 42, that he will be the judge of the living and the dead. There is a day coming. The Bible talks about that. It's called Judgment Day. The day that when all the dead and the living will be raised on Judgment Day. So the good news is, everyone that you knew that have passed on, well, guess what? They're going to be raised in a physical body. We're all going to be raised one day. And that's good news. Everyone's going to be raised. People from 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, they're all going to be raised on Judgment Day. Okay, and it sounds good. We're all going to be raised. But it sounds good, but not for everyone does it sound good. Because the second thing it says here is that everyone will be judged. We're not free agents. We are going to have to give an account of what has happened in our life, that we are accountable, which is why lots of people are afraid of believing in God. Could I say that again? They're afraid of believing in God, because if God is real, that means I'm accountable. And I don't want to be accountable to anyone. I don't like people telling me what to do. But the Bible tells us that we will all be held in account. We are accountable to God. Okay, so here we go. Everyone will be raised. And number two, we all will have to give an account of what we've done here on earth. And the third thing is this, is that the risen Jesus will be the judge on that day. We're held accountable to Jesus, which is good news for us. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, He knows His sheep. He knows who you are. And that's great news for us. So all people will be raised, all people will be judged, and the risen Jesus will be judged on that day. That's incredible. Many of Jesus' parables speaks of this separation that happens on judgment day. There's a division. There's a positive side that leads to eternal life, and then there's a negative side that leads to death, eternal death. Eternal death. This is what we call hell. Eternal death, hell. Jesus speaks about it many times. He talked about the division between the wheat and the weeds, the sheep and the goats, the good fish and the worthless fish, that all people will be divided into two groups. One group steps into eternal life, and the other group is to eternal death, what the Bible calls hell. It's a place that we don't want anyone to go to. And he carries on in Acts chapter 10, verse 43. This is what he says. All the prophets testified about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So that's the positive side. Those who step into eternal life, those who believe in Jesus now, are forgiven of their sins now and are accepted by him then on judgment day. That's great news. You know what that means for you? That means for if you don't know Jesus right now, if you're on this journey and you know there's a God and God has revealed himself in the fullness of Jesus. And here's the thing, if you receive Jesus now, if you believe in Jesus now, you are forgiven of your sins now. You're forgiven now and you're accepted by Jesus then on judgment day. That Jesus knows who you are, and that's good news. And then the negative side. Jesus talks about the negative side. Those whose path leads to eternal death, leads to hell. And that's found in Mark chapter 8, verse 38. There's many passages, but today we're looking at Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Those who reject Jesus now will be rejected by Jesus then on judgment day. Let me say that again. If you reject Jesus now, you'll be rejected by Jesus then on judgment day. And that sounds really, really harsh. And in the Bible, there's no concept of a second chance after death. This life now is the one and only opportunity that we have to come to know Jesus. But you know what? There's good news in that. There is good news in that. You say, where's the good news in that? So what does this mean for us? It means that your attitude to Jesus in this life is the same as his attitude to you in the next life. If you accept him now, he will accept you then on judgment day. But if you reject Jesus now, he will reject you then. But remember I said there's good news in that? And this is the good news. The good news is this. As long as there's breath in your lungs, there's an opportunity for you to know Jesus. Can I say that again? If you're rejecting him right now, but as long as there's breath in your lungs, there's an opportunity for you to know Jesus. So the door has not closed. And you know, the enemy of God knows this. And the purpose of the enemy is to rob you of your breath. The enemy wants to steal your breath. Think about it. What's one of the biggest causing death in our country? It's suicide. More people are giving up because they think they're worthless. They think they're not worth nothing. And you know, the world would be better off without me. But the Bible tells us a different thing. The Bible says that you are worth so much, that God loved you. He loved you so much that he stepped into his creation and he binds himself with flesh. And on the cross, he dies for you to set you free. So everyone who believes in him will be forgiven of their sins. He died for you. And the enemy of God does not want you to hear that message. The enemy of God wants to rob you of that message and rob you of that opportunity. And the enemy of God wants to steal your breath. There's a battle for your breath, and the breath is the breath of God. When God created Adam, he formed man out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed life. He breathed his life, his Ruach Elohim, into your body, and you came alive. Think about it. When a baby is born, the first thing a baby does is take a breath and cries and cries. And the last thing we do before we leave this planet is we release that breath. And the enemy of God wants to rob you of your breath, wants to rob you of the opportunity to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. So that's the good news for us. You have an opportunity to know Jesus now, while there's breath in your lungs. As long as there's breath in your lungs, there is hope. And this is the hope that Matt's mum knew. She knew this so deeply. In fact, the Apostle Paul had the same confidence. And the Apostle Paul will write in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 to 24. This is what he says. This is Apostle Paul. He says, "For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better." And the Apostle Paul is talking about this tension. You know, if I die, I'm with Jesus right now. But you know what? It is better that I keep on living, because it's a benefit to you. And this is the tension we have, and this is the tension that Matt Ferry had for his mum, because he knew where she was going, and he had this great joy, but he also had this grief, because he loved her so much, and he wanted her to be here with him because he loved her so much. But with great joy, he knows where his mum is. And so Apostle Paul in verse 23, "I'm torn between the two desires," and this is the tension that we wrestle with as believers. "I long to go be with Christ, which will be far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live." And this is the tension that we live with. What? I don't know which is better. I want to be with Jesus. In fact, being with Jesus is far better. But my love for you and your love for me means that it's better for me to be here. But I've got this tension. But let me tell you something. Matt's mom had an offer that she could not refuse, and she stepped into glory. And the Apostle Paul said this. He says that he knew that if anybody knows Christ, that when they die, they're immediately with Jesus. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. He says that when we die, that you're immediately with Jesus. Because it says, if I'm dying, I'm with Christ. And that's good news. Which means is that, you know, we're not like in our graves waiting for judgment day. What it's telling us is that when we die, our spirit is immediately with Jesus. But on judgment day, we are reunited with a resurrected body on judgment day, and then we pass into eternal life. But when you die, let me tell you something. Everyone that you know who loves Jesus, you know where they are? They're with Jesus right now. They're with Jesus now. And that's the hope we have. What you believe about death and eternity will determine how you live. Those who believe in Jesus now are forgiven now and accepted by Jesus then on judgment day. If you reject Jesus now, you'll be rejected by Jesus then. But here's the good news. As long as there's breath in your lungs, there is hope. There is hope. The enemy wants to rob you of your hope and your joy. What you believe about death and eternity will determine how you live. And that is Matt Ferry's story. Beautiful story. So church, we've come to the end of today's message. God bless from us on the other side of the world. Ka kite.